Happy Monday, Bucks fans. Steve Isbitz here of JoeBucksFan.com. I'm one of the Joes. This is the Monday Morning Joe podcast presented by Discount Garage Doors, our good friends there. Their website, dgdoors.com, home of the same-day free service call. That means a free diagnosis. They come to your place. They'll assess your problem. You'll tell them everything that's going on. They can either fix it there or they can recommend a new door. They have a great wide selection of discount garage doors, keyword discount. And of course, that still means they have all the best brands and all the best options. But the free service call is there for you, the free diagnosis. No pressure. They'll come out. They can fix it on the spot. Or you know what? They'll give you an estimate. You can shop around, whatever you want to do. This is a local Tampa Bay company that has grown over the last 20 years. They've expanded to 18 counties across Central Florida. 866-420-DOOR. Many, many Joe Bucks fan readers have used their service and have been very happy with it. I've gotten two compliments in the last week. So it's really important, especially when your garage door isn't working and that's a huge part of your life. You got to get it fixed and you need someone who can do it right. Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. Now, it's the middle of May, right? Middle of May, and we're trying to stay fired up for Bucks football, and frankly, it's easy. There's a lot of draft picks in the house. Not every team has a ton of draft picks. The Bucks have a lot at minicamp, and that was Friday and Saturday. Rookie minicamp, where the draft picks mingle with the undrafted free agents. Now, those guys are already on the roster, right? Those guys have been signed in some cases, and we're going to go to that in a minute. But those guys are on the roster and they're with a bunch of tryout players. And frankly, you're not going to hear on JoeBucksFan.com us going all crazy over rookie minicamp and all that stuff. There's really one big story out of rookie minicamp as far as I'm concerned. And of course, we're going to talk about it. But I just think it's important, you know, all the video circulates from rookie minicamp and comments and takes, and it's worth reading. It's worth noting. It's fun. It's what keeps us fans. But I mean, you got to just take a deep breath with some of this stuff because it just doesn't really mean very much. It's underwear football, no pads. So the guys are just in shorts, doing their thing, absorbing the playbook. And there's a little bit of, you know, 7-on-7 work and teamwork, but there's no hitting. There's no pushing. There's nothing. Now, is there a little contact? Sure, that's the nature of guys running around doing their stuff. Is it nice to watch a cornerback cover a receiver? Sure. But, you know, Vernon Hargraves looks great doing that, too, in practice. So it's just a first step for the rookies. It's great that there aren't any red flags or major injuries. Safety Jordan Whitehead, the kid, Darrell Revis's cousin at a Pitt, was held out with a hamstring tweak, and that's always sucks. Because sometimes those things can linger and you don't want them to linger. Ask Justin Evans. He wasn't right in the spring last year. And did that slow him down a little bit? Yeah. Yeah, maybe it did. It took him a little bit more time to acclimate because of that. Other guys have come in with injuries before. Austin Seferian, Jack Wagon, as we call him on the website, he came in hurt. Other guys have been tweaked before in rookie camp. So, you know, you want to get out of it healthy just like anything else. But there are a couple of things worth noting. I personally was out there Friday, was not feeling well, ended up with, it's not even worth explaining, but I'm all good now. He's probably even better than I was before Friday. And Lee DeKemper, my cohort, was out there Friday as well. And on Saturday, most of what you read Saturday really was from him. Great job. And Sunday, as usual, as is the case, they could have had the rookies out there, could have had the tryout guys out there, but what almost seems like a tradition for a lot of teams, including the Bucks, they canceled day three of rookie minicamp. And just because they've seen enough, they know who's coming, they know who's going, they know who's absorbed what, who hasn't. This year it was Mother's Day, which I think doesn't hurt having a Dirk Cutter and a lot of guys wanting to get out of there. But 2 days is enough for what they want to accomplish. One thing about the practice field, one thing that's different that I'll be writing on Joe Bucks Fan later today, it's not really exciting, but you know what? Well, you know, I can't say it's not exciting, but it's not riveting football news. But, you know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're a hardcore Bucks fan and you like hearing about it. The Bucks are now using high-end technology, camera technology at practice, so they don't have to have dudes up in these huge forklift kinds of things 40 feet above practice shooting video. and then they come down and it gets downloaded and then they can start cutting it up and the coaches watch it every play of practice. They're dissecting even a rookie mini camp to see who's doing what and habits and, you know, scouting their own guys. So they don't have that anymore. The Bucks bought these essentially like all-terrain vehicles that have a camera that shoots up 40 feet up in the air and it's pointed wherever it's going, or it can be robotically moved, and that's your camera. So it's good for the Bucks in two ways. One, of course, they don't have to have guys up there 40 feet up in the wind and in the elements filming practice, and that's better for them. And sometimes those guys are actually in the past were called down because once wind hit a certain miles per hour, they're not allowed to be in those lifts because it was dangerous. And then that happened to them a few times where they didn't get full filming of practice. But more important, since they don't need a body up there and this vehicle is all high tech with the camera, while practice is going on, the guy is sitting in the vehicle under a an overhang. Yeah, it's sort of like a boat cover, and he's cutting up the tape as practice is going. He's slicing it up so it's available faster to the coaches, which during the regular season is going to be more of a benefit. Is it going to win a lot of games? No, but it's good to see that the Glazers invested in the technology. Not every team has it. I was told they use it at the Senior Bowl, and I talked to two of the guys who actually were running the cameras during practice and cutting up the film. And of course, these guys love it. They're in the shade. It's the same guy who was up in the lift who was doing that. Typically, those are offensive assistants, but sometimes it's a film guy, whatever. But a neat little nugget. Good to see Team Glazer buying the technology. And usually they have been on the cutting edge of technology early with the iPads and then the Surfaces. So it's just another thing with Team Glazer. Remember, they also tried out the virtual reality quarterback training that they got for Jameis. I'm going to follow up on that. I never heard that actually went anywhere other than, Jameis liked it. I don't know what it did for Mike Glennon and his development, but I'll find out. Things to find out in the summer, right? All right. Now, I said there's a big story out of training camp. No, out of rookie mini camp. And I think that is Brenson Buckner, the defensive line coach. Now, understand this. Brenson Buckner is probably like 60% of the defensive line coaches across the NFL. In a way that I say that is he screams at players. He's high energy. Defensive line coaches, from my experience, are very much like special teams coaches. They yell, they scream, they get in your face. They're one-liner type guys, and they are passionate. Most people who play defensive line have a screw loose. That's the typical, typical MO of a defensive end, especially. You know, you're a guy in the trenches. You're playing defensive line. You sign up to do that. You're not like everybody else on the planet. And the defensive line coach usually reflects that, and with a lot of passion, a lot of energy. So none of that is unique. Brenson Buckner delivers that kind of juice. Absolutely. High energy, in your face, and it's great to see. It's fun to see, but it doesn't make a great defensive line coach. Now, it stands out a lot at Bucks practice because Jay Hayes was not like that in the same kind of way. Not like that in the same way. Now, before that, the Bucks had, his name is escaping me right now. The defensive line coach, the guy who was the D-line coach, I think, for the Lions, and he went through the Wendy's drive-thru. I think he was naked. Ah, man, I forgot that story, but that seems nothing now compared to the whole Matt Patricia nonsense out there. Joe Cullen, that's it. He drove through a Wendy's drive-thru naked when he was with the Lions, blamed alcoholism. Anyway, he was with the Bucks. Now he's with the Ravens. Very, very, a great guy, a nice guy, very high-energy screamer. We remember him here. Keith Millard, who played in the league, he was Bucks defensive line coach when they were real good under Raheem for that stretch. Todd Wash, who is the Jacksonville defensive coordinator, went on to a great career. These have all guys who have been there lately. Brian Cox, the ex-player, real demonstrative, kind of loud guy. So it's common. But here's the thing. Brenson Buckner, who was fantastic screaming at Vita Vea, you might have read my story that I had on Friday, you know, really getting after him to push through and, you know, not run at angles and go in a straight line and be a north-south disruptor. Clearly, that's going to be a focus of Vea, and probably something a little bit different than he's learned before. If you watch a lot of his college film, he's not bull rushing a lot. Hey, it's just a little bit different technique, and he talked about that over the weekend, saying that, hey, it is different technique that they're teaching me, and this is NFL technique, and big learning curve for Vea. Doesn't mean he can't do it, and it'll be less of a learning curve if he can just tap into his raw strength and ability and, you know, lean also on his basic technique, on his general technique. But forgetting about that, Buckner is all over the place. He's getting into these guys, and he is intense, but he played the game. 12 seasons, has a lot of credibility. He's not an ancient guy. You know, he played in this century. And I was told, you know, frankly, from Bucks officials there at practice that Buckner is the star of the offseason. And you really wanted to see that because he is the one significant change on the coaching staff. So, you know, if the new guy can't stand out, if the new guy can't look like he's making a huge difference and bringing a renewed energy, then you screwed up. And I promise you, inside One Buck, they are absolutely giddy that Buckner has jumped into the opportunity and made an impact already in the whole approach to the defensive line. And of course, you know, a good position coach can rub off on everybody else. You look at Buckner when he was with Arizona and he left, you had guys on Twitter, including Tyrann Mathieu and others, saying this guy's defensive coordinator material. We're going to miss Coach Buck. And, you know, you don't see that from position coaches all the time. That doesn't happen a lot. And I felt that this would certainly carry over, and it spoke volumes for Buckner. And that seems to be playing out. So that's a really huge positive, something to feel good about today on this Monday in May, when you wonder, hey, is the Bucks defensive line just going to do something here? Are we going to finally have a good defensive line again? I think all the signs look good. And I said to somebody with the Bucks on Friday, I said, you know what? There's 8 real talented guys with legit talent. Now, they're all not Pro Bowlers, but 8 guys with legit talent in that deep defensive line stable that we have now. If Buckner can just get 6 of them, 6 out of those 8 to be playing their best ball, whatever that represents for them, we are in great shape. Great shape. Just 6 out of 8. Injuries happen, stuff happens, whatever. But if he could just get 6 of those guys pumping at top performance, and the Bucks are hopeful, I'm hopeful, you should be hopeful. And it feels good to feel good about something as it relates to the Bucks. Now, with the cornerbacks, I'm not going to get into who's looking good in coverage and press and all. It's like, come on, man. Let them get against NFL receivers when they can really, you know, bump properly and use their hands the way they're supposed to use their hands and break on a ball and all this other stuff. There's plenty you can see in practice, but 1 or 2 mini camp practices against some guys who might never catch a ball in the league. You know, and it doesn't mean they should be dominated every time with quarterbacks who are second rate. It's not a great evaluation tool. But it is fun to watch, and you know, I hope you enjoyed our coverage on joebucksfan.com. As for the podcast, for anybody listening here, if you haven't done it already, leave a review. I love to read them, even if they're nasty. I don't care. Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, all of those places you can subscribe to the podcast. And that just means you get a free alert every time I publish the thing on Monday, which is sometimes later on Monday or earlier on Monday or sometimes Tuesday. Or maybe some of you yell at me on the 1 or 2 times it's on a Wednesday. But it's a Monday podcast. I was very good during the season. Cut me some slack. But we appreciate any kind of reviews. 5, 4 stars, 3 stars, whatever. It raises the profile of the podcast, and we love to interact with you. So You never know. I may even read one here on the podcast. Now, I realized before I made a little crack about Matt Patricia and that mess with the Lions. I wasn't making light of the situation, and I'm not trying to be politically correct here. I'm just sort of clarifying. It's a mess for the Lions. For those of you who haven't been up to speed on that, Google it. Basically, Matt Patricia is the new head coach of the Lions, and the Detroit News dug up the fact that 22 years ago, he was arrested for rape. He was indicted, and the thing lingered for 8-10 months. He was arrested quickly, whatever. The prosecution was building a case. His accuser didn't show up, and he was not in professional football at that point at all. He's a rather young coach, and that's it. He was accused. It was dropped. Case closed. But he apparently didn't disclose this to anybody in the NFL, and the NFL and its team of researchers, its team of investigators, the people boring in on the Jameis Winston investigation, allegedly, to try to make this a timely and thorough situation, they didn't know that this Matt Patricia was involved in this. Now, I'm being a little bit sarcastic because the NFL wasn't investigating Patricia. The Lions, obviously, were doing some sort of background check, but Patricia didn't bring this up. And I think it's kind of comical, and just because the NFL is so bogus with some of these investigations. But, you know, we've all filled out job applications where it says, you know, check this box if you've been convicted of a felony, or as it could say, if you have been arrested. Who knows what it says all the time? You just click no and you move on. And in the case of Patricia, you wonder, though, if the organization said to him, hey, Matt, we're going to do the standard background check on you, of course. Is there anything we need to know about before we sign this contract? Did they have that conversation? Did he say, oh, no, I'm good? Or did they just blow it off and not want to insult the guy somehow? I don't know, but it looks like the Detroit media is all over it. The truth's going to come out. And the truth that we know now is that this was a guy accused 22 years ago who was, in a situation where it appears he was falsely accused or the situation was dropped. We don't know. But that was 22 years ago. And for the sake of the Lions, and I have no love for the Lions, but and for the sake of the world, I hope nobody else comes forward, that there's no two or three Me Toos on Matt Patricia. That would just be quite a cluster, and it would really be fascinating to see who their new head coach becomes. Now, before you people start saying, Mike Smith, go coach the Lions, I just wanted to clarify what I was saying and on that. And you know what? We've written plenty about the Jameis investigation and what's going on there. I don't know. This whole situation might have an effect on Jameis's investigation and the various pending conduct investigations around the league. Maybe it forces the NFL to assess where they are with those situations so they can put more resources into Matt Patricia, because the league is going to want to cover its ass on this if they believe somehow the perception game out there is that the Lions are going to move ahead with a head coach who is perceived by some to be a rapist. You know, the NFL is into protecting its brand, its PR, its perception, its desire for advertisers to be a part of the league. Really, I guess that's the advertiser's desire to be part of the league. So they care about this stuff. So maybe the Patricia situation, because Roger Goodell is going to be asked about it at the upcoming league meetings, which are next week. There's another owners meetings next week. It's the lower profile one, but it's going to be a hot topic there, especially with the Jerry Richardson thing still out there and others, Michael Bennett, Reuben Foster. So unfortunately, the NFL has got this thing high profile again, investigations, and maybe it forces them to assess and speed things up, and who knows what? I don't know, but maybe it has some sort of impact on Jameis. Frankly, that's all I really care about. I don't care about the NFL's PR stuff. I want this thing resolved quickly for the Buccaneers organization, and that means moving quickly, resolve this thing, get it out in the open, get it done with, whatever it is, and hopefully that's just nothing, a big nothing for Jameis, but it is alive and real. Now, the Bucs are in the middle of OTAs. There's more practices this week where the rookies then integrate with the veterans. They get to meet each other and feel what it's like to practice with these guys. And slowly the OTAs ramp up to the June mini camp, which is mandatory. And that's 2 days of practice, sometimes two and a half. Sometimes they shut down the third day, or they do a team outing on the third day after they go hard for a couple of days. And then Coach Cutter says goodbye, come back in 6 weeks for training camp. You got to weigh in at this amount. You got to do this, and we're off and running. So that's how it goes. That's where we are in the season. But, you know, we've talked in the past about OTAs, the importance of OTAs, spring practice. That's all debatable. And you're never going to get a straight answer from Dirk Cutter. I shouldn't say never, but you're not going to get one 90% of the time on who's attending spring practices and who's not, who's missing, who's what, who's hurt, because they're not obligated to do it. And frankly, coaches in the NFL, most of them feel it's bad form to crack on a guy for not being at an optional practice. And I say optional because of the league labor agreement makes these OTAs optional. So they won't blast a guy for not showing up. But yet at the same time, they say it's very important to be there, builds chemistry, installing new stuff, whatever. So it's a great divide. It puts coaches in a funny spot with media. And it also puts other players in funny spots, because even if a guy's mad that his teammate isn't there, is he going to say it? So it's a little bit dicey. But the Buccaneers, the website staff, great photographer at Buccaneers.com, they shoot pictures of OTA practices that media is not allowed to watch, most of them, large majority of them. It seems like we get to watch less of them this year. Maybe that's part of my imagination. I don't know. I don't have the schedule memorized. But regardless, no matter the year, most of them are not viewable by the media. Maybe we've gotten a couple, some extra access in certain years. I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Not this year. But the Bucs staff puts out photos of each practice on Buccaneers.com, usually a photo array of maybe 50. And this past week, I did not see DeSean Jackson at any three practices. I also haven't seen Jason Pierre-Paul, unless I'm missing him because I'm not as used to looking at him. I'm not seeing him out there. So it looks like JPP and D-Jax are not showing up. And DeSean Jackson is no surprise, which I think is a loss for the organization, a loss for Jameis Winston and his leadership power. And when I say a loss for the organization, I mean, you know, they want him there. He knows he's wanted there, and he's opted not to show up, which is his right. He's in shape. I don't think any it's a physical thing, but it's not a great ideal situation. You know, it just isn't. No matter how you want to slice it or spin it, I'm not blaming anybody. It's just not good. Jason Pierre-Paul, not sure about him, what's going on there. But it's good to see the other guys, the other veterans, the Mitch Unrines, the Bo Allens, the Vinnie Curry, all that stuff. It's good to see. Now, one thing I wanted to mention is Vita Vea. Yes, I wrote on JoeBucksFan.com, Brenson Buckner, the D line coach, is living in his buttocks, is how I phrased it. It's a beautiful thing, and it should be, especially with a first round pick. But Warren Sapp made comments last week talking to Ian Beckles, and Beckles relayed the story on his podcast, In the Trenches. He said that's what the name of the podcast. He said they talked for a couple hours, and Beckles said they agreed completely on Gerald McCoy, whatever that means. We know Beckles has been a loud voice, anti-McCoy voice, not liking McCoy's game, thinking he's overrated, and just not liking his attitude on and off the field. Not that he thinks McCoy's a bad player, but just an overrated player. But that wasn't the point of the conversation. Just an interesting little side note. The point that Beckles was making was that Sapp said Vea, and he said Sapp was adamant that Vea, at 345 pounds, is too big to play in Florida. That players don't thrive and succeed. They can't do it at that size, 6'4", 345, here in Florida. So it's an interesting take from Warren Sapp. And then you combine it with the fact that Vea and Sapp apparently made this point, again, all through Beckles, that he's also a West Coast guy, and West Coast guys don't fare as well in Florida, which is also true. There's a lot to that. You can go back and look at some of the history, but there's just a lot to it. More, it certainly is a greater learning curve and you look at where Vea is from, a very dry climate in Northern California. He's not from Tonga, people. He's born, he's a local California kid, went to high school, you know, in Milpitas, which is between San Jose and San Francisco. He didn't grow up in an affluent family by any stretch, but that's a very affluent area. And he, very dry area. Your typical summer night is going to be in the 50s kind of thing. Different climate, different scene, different vibe, different approach. Certainly not a football hungry place like the South is here. But all those things are okay. Doesn't mean Vea can't be a great player. It was just an interesting take from Sapp that Vea's too big. And then you look at the fact that Vea didn't play a ton of snaps in college, 2/3 of the snaps, I believe, and he didn't have a lot of tackles for loss in college. I brought that up. I don't know if it was this podcast or the Ira Kaufman podcast. We broached that subject on last week, that his numbers for tackles for loss are just really not very good at all. Now, if you look, though, you look a little bit deeper to balance this out, go look at, I forgot his coach's name, but his coach at the University of Washington talking about Vea coming out saying, you know, if he was in school one more year, he'd probably be the number one overall pick. And he's on such a growth rate and he's such a hard worker and a learner. And basically the Bucks got a guy with such a tremendous ceiling that he hasn't even approached yet. It's just mind blowing. So there's that. So hopefully they got the right guy in Buckner to coach him up. It should be a great incubator for Vea around all of these veterans. Man, McCoy, JPP, two guys with great work ethic. Say what you want about McCoy. Great work ethic. JPP, the guy came back from blowing his freaking hand off. If that's not work ethic, I don't know what is. Multiple surgeries and all that stuff. He still cries when you bring it up to this day. Bo Allen, a trenches greasy kind of guy, Unrein from the middle of nowhere, who has been a solid player for a while, a real grinder at the position. Nothing special, but you know, he is who he is. Vinny Curry, you know, these are guys who, it's a perfect situation for Vea to grow and to blossom. And you assume that Buckner, who played the darn position, is a top flight, top five D-line coach. So it's perfect for Vea, but it is interesting. Something to keep an eye on from Mr. Sapp, who speaks a lot of wisdom. He's not always right. I'll leave you with this story. I sat at, before Sapp was busted for whatever he was accused for, various hooker $600 threesome, and the NFL Network fired him and whatever. And then he was implicated as allegedly one of the sexual harassers at NFL Network. And he had some great comments denying that earlier this year. Maybe it was late last year. Anyway, not the point. When he was with NFL Network, I sat down with Sapp at the Super Bowl in New Jersey, in Newark, New Jersey, when they had the Super Bowl that year at the Meadowlands. Ridiculous. It was like 6 degrees. And I get in there and, you know, they have all these events indoors, whatever, really cool stuff. And I sit down with Sapp because he's having a round table chat with reporters, whoever wants to sit with him. It was like open season for Sapp, Steve Mariucci, and all these other personalities. They're each at a round table and it's like, hey, media, okay, you want to sit down and chat? If you want to chat, you could chat. Sapp will be there for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was that they all had timetables. And there was food. It was very casual. So pretty cool stuff. Anyway, so I sit down right next to Sapp, and I start asking him about why Lovie's defense is going to work, why it's going to bounce back, and Claiborne and Bowers, do these guys have what it takes? And Sapp goes on this long, you know, in your face, you know, you never know if he's going to punch you in the grill kind of thing about how Lovie's system is right, and the system is going to take care of it. Finally, the system is right, no more Shiano, and these guys have got what it takes, and you know, so he goes on to tell me that Bowers and Claiborne, they got it. They got it. So you never really know. And that's the beauty of the draft. The beauty of being an NFL fan is it's not as simple and as straightforward as the NBA and other sports out there. It's a lot of, there's a lot of gray area, tons of gray area. And you know, at JoeBucksFan.com, it's what we love. We love the gray area. And you fans who follow this team year round. You love the damn gray area because there's 20 games a year if you include preseason and don't count the postseason. Or let's just say, you know, even with a little postseason, there's 20 games a year for your team. That leaves 345 days. Let's even say it's 300, right? Because you're talking about the game and what actually happened for a while. Let's just say there's 300 days a year where you are just talking about gray area and an opinion and interpretation and diving deep and trying to read between lines. That's what makes the NFL so intense, because it's a freaking year-long soap opera with a short episodes. I just finished watching, if anybody hasn't watched it yet, if you're in my age range, I don't know when people started watching Karate Kid or whatever, but if you're in my age range, still in your 40s, and you appreciate Karate Kid at all, or what that was at the time, watch the Cobra Kai series on YouTube. YouTube Red, you got to pay your $10. 10 episodes, the new Cobra Kai series. Watch the trailer. I'm not going to do it justice, but great series. Great series. Sad that it's over. A lot of fun. And if you know, it's not for kids. I wouldn't say it's for kids, but great fun. Check that out. Strike first out there. I'm glad that you listened to the podcast today. Thank you to Discount Garage Doors, dgdoors.com. dgdoors.com is their website. Check them out. Use your Joe Bucks Fan discount code. So if you actually buy something, if you actually pay for a repair, that's going to get you 10% off, or if you get a new door, great rates. Go to their website. We'll be back with more podcasts this week. Ira Kaufman podcasts. Subscribe to those. Hope you're enjoying the Joe Bolts Fan podcast with Tom Lang out of ESPN Tallahassee. Great local guy. Grew up a Lightning fan from like 5, 6 years old, 7 years old. And he's got a lot to offer there. And Todd Wright. Todd Wright, his fantasy football podcasts continue to be popular. He's doing his Todd Wright Lightning playoff podcast. He has media credentials. And Todd has just a wealth of knowledge and perspective that he delivers to his Lightning podcasts. It's right there on the website coming a little bit later today. Out of the Lightning's two losses, of course, the commish, Bucks Uncensored. Man, if you haven't listened to Bucks Uncensored, do it. You know, it's just so much fun. We're happy to offer hours and hours, really, of programming here, so you don't have to get stuck with boring sports radio. Of course, our friend Rock Riley. Rock, if you made it to the end, I'm giving you a shout out. Rock Riley, 10:40 a.m. every day, every weekday from 3 to 6 at sportstalkflorida.com. All right, Bucks fans, I'll be back next week. We got some stuff coming at $1 this week, so more perspective, more insight. I appreciate you. Thanks.